one, the other day, I think it was Sister Connie, we were sitting up at the hospital. She says, you know, the more and more I look around and see all the things that are happening and see what's going on in our lives with health and everything else, she said, it's the more I realize that I am just a pilgrim here. I've got a home someplace else. And praise God, she's looking for home. I'm looking for home, amen. I realize I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. But I realize that one day I'm going home. Amen. I don't know when. I might go by the way of the grave. I might go by way of the rapture. I think in my own heart I'm expecting to go by the rapture, the way things are looking. But either way, I know where I'm going. And even more so, I'm looking forward to going there. Amen. I'm really torn where to preach this morning. I told Sunday school class that. I got two messages, and both of them laying heavy on my heart, but turn with us into Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we believe this is where we need to be. Good to see everybody out and about. Remember those that can't be. Remember Stanley and Reba. They're both down and pretty good. Stanley's cancer's come back and he's dealing with that and hurt his back again somehow. He's not sure how he's done that and broke his back a few years ago when you're in your mid-80s and you're dealing with a broken back. It's hard, but just lift him up in prayer. Keep Sister Connie and your prayers as she deals with Reeve and his needs, and just pray for him. And just many in our church that are sick, keep Tanya. She gets to come home today if everything goes well. And just thankful that she was able to come through her surgery and everything Thursday good, and that God was gracious enough to allow the doctor to give her some relief from some of the pain she's been having. She said she's sore from the surgery, but the pain that she was having before is gone. We're thankful for that. So just lift Tanya up in your prayers in a special way and to many others. I know we have a multitude that are sick, but keep one another in prayer. Amen. Lift one another up. If you found Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. Or no, verse number 10. Let's go to verse number 10. The Bible says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being able to be in this place again. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come this way. Father, for those that have had to leave sick, God, we just ask that you'd be with them. For those who join us online, Father, we just pray, God, that you would be with them and minister to their needs. Father, for these that are here today that are able to be in the midst of the service, Lord, we just desire your presence to be among us, Lord, that you might minister to us the things we stand in need of. Help us, God, each one from the pulpit to the back pew, Lord, just to be obedient unto you. And God, just to submit ourselves unto your will, that we might be found where you'd have us to be a doing, God, what you'd have us to do. Now, Lord, as we look to your word this morning, help us, God, to see in it that it helps us to see where you'd have us to be and to move ourselves to that place where you'd have us to be, that we might do the things, Lord, and we might honor you in all that you'd have us to be. Now, God, we thank you for all your blessings upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Perfect, perfecting, and perfected. Amen? Three things and three thoughts that we see here as we look into God's Word this morning. We realize and we understand that we serve a God that is perfect in every way. He's perfect in His thought. He's perfect in His works. He's perfect in just being God. And there's nothing that can be laid to His charge or laid to His account that He's unworthy of or imperfect in. He's perfect in everything. His Word that He's given us is perfect in everything that it tells us and everything that it shows us. His being is perfect in every work that He does among us, whether it's as God the Father, as God the Son, or God Holy Spirit. His work and His motives and His means are perfect in everything. And when we stop and think about God and we stop and think about our relationship with God, we need to stop and think about perfection, because that is what God is looking for, is perfection. When God made man and placed man in the Garden of Eden, God made a perfect man. God made a perfect woman, and He put them in a perfect environment that they might be modeled and that they might be molded after Him and that they might be able to fellowship with Him unbridled and unhindered in their actions. God's desire was for perfection in everything that He had created. But we know that sin came along, and sin working the work that the master maker, the master builder, the master creator, the master of all perfection had created and marred what God had done and marred what God had created. But it doesn't stop God from seeking perfection and to perfect us again unto the place of unity with Him. Looking at the first few verses of the chapter, verses 1-7, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. God's plan from the very beginning was that plan of unity. Unity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and God's creation, mankind. Man could fellowship with God. The Bible tells us that God came into the garden in the cool of the day, and He was seeking and searching for Adam. And praise God, I'm glad that He's still seeking and searching, even though we've become marred, that He might bring us unto that perfect relationship with Him. When He found that His work had been marred, He made the promise to them right there in Genesis chapter number 3 that He had a plan in place to restore the man, to restore that He had made in perfection unto the perfect place that it once was. God's plan is perfect in everything because it's a plan of unity. It's a plan of restoration. It's a plan of restoring. What is the plan of salvation? restoration. It's restoring what had been broken unto God. Amen. What is the plan of forgiveness? When God forgives us of our sin, it's a plan of restoring us unto the joys of salvation, unto the joy of serving God. What is it that man has found when he has failed God throughout God's word? Think about Adam. As Adam fell and Adam sinned and Adam brought sin into the world, he found that God had made a way and God was preparing a way to perfect mankind that he could be restored. When Samson, Brother Danny pointed this out this morning, when Samson had sinned in his last act, he asked God for one more time to allow him to act in the power of God, that he might just do a mighty work in the end of his life for the glory of God. God gave him back that which was taken away. God gave him back that which sin had marred him of and had crippled him and put him in bonds and put him in chains and fetters and blinded him to everything that he had enjoyed. But in that last moment, praise God, he was restored that which he lost. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." What is the joy of salvation? Is it not unity? Is it not restoration in our relationship with God? And that's exactly what God is striving for. That's exactly what his plan is. It's a perfect plan if we'll just heed it. It's a perfect plan if we'll just follow it. Look at what he said. He said, here in our scripture, it takes some work in our lives. He said, with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For us to find unity, for us to be unified together as a body of believers, for us to be a part of the universal church, it requires unity in the mind and in the heart of the believers. It requires a relationship between us and someone else, but sometimes relationships require us to humble ourselves. In lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring, it takes work. God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for us to live in unity. God has a plan of restoration for each of us, and he wants us who have found that restoration that comes in Jesus to go forth into a lost and a dying world and to try to bring them in, to tell them about Jesus, that they might be restored and they might be brought back into the unity of the body of Christ, the unity of the believers, the unity of the church, the unity of the bride. God's plan for us isn't to have to deal with things on our own. It's to be a part of him and him a part of us. The problem is we want to keep him at an arm's length until we need him. You know, we all got people that we are acquainted with, but we keep them at an arm's length. We all have people. We all have acquaintances like that. You keep them at an arm's length. You don't let them in. But then we have those that we let in. We draw them close. We want them close. We desire their fellowship and their closeness. God doesn't want to be kept at arm's length. He wants us to desire to have him close, because that's his desire for us. Look in John chapter number 17 for a moment, in verses 21 to 24. I want to show you something. I want to show you how much the Lord desires that unity in our life. In John chapter 17, in verse number 21, in Jesus, now this is the Lord's Prayer. We hear people talk about, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. That's the Lord's pattern for prayer. That's the Lord's picture of, he's teaching us how to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. It's the longest prayer that we have of Jesus praying. And you know, most of his prayers were short prayers. Amen. But this is the longest prayer in John 17. But look at what he says in verse 21. That they all may be one. What's that? Unity? Amen? Isn't that what he's praying for? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be able, that they may be made perfect in one, and that thou, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Even before the world was in place, God had a plan of unity in place. And after the fall of man, God sent his Son into the world that he might restore what had been broken by sin, and that we might come together again in that bond of unity, that we might be made perfect in him. We might be made perfect in that unity that is before us, that unity that is offered unto us, that unity that is a privilege that we can have and we can know because of him and because of what he's done and because of what he wants to do in our life, that I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Friend, God's plan this morning is a plan to make perfect that which is broken. Amen. And God wants to perfect you this morning. God wants to do a work in you this morning. Yeah. He's promised a work for you when he promised that he would send a sacrifice. When he promised he would send his Son, he promised that he had made a way and he'd make a plan and he wouldn't leave us on our own to do this. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave what? What was necessary. He gave what? A perfect sacrifice. He gave what? A perfect plan that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God is a God of perfection. He doesn't do things partway. He didn't make man, and when man was flawed, just throw man away. God in his perfection had a plan before the foundation of the world. Jesus, his Son, was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus, his Son, was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus, his Son, would bring a perfect salvation to a lost and a dying world. Jesus, his Son, would restore and bring unity again to what had been broken. Perfect in everything. Perfect in every way. Perfect in every thought. God has laid his plan of salvation before a lost and a dying world, to see who would accept it, to offer it whosoever should want to be a partaker of it. But then look in verses 8 to 12. We see that God's plan of unity brings restoration. And in that restoration process, there's a perfecting. You know, one of my biggest problems in doing things is I can't leave things alone. I can do something and it looks good. I can run a weld and it looks good, but just something that just isn't perfect to me. So I'll go back, I'll say, I'll lay another bead over that and I'll pretty that thing up, and I'll lay another bead over it and then it looks worse than it started out. I should have just left it alone. Amen. I cut a joint and it's good. It would meet it would meet or surpass industry standards for cutting the joint. But I say to myself, I can get that a little tighter. I can get that a little better. And I go fooling with it, and I mess it up. Amen. But God's not like that. God knows all our flaws. God knows our imperfections. And look at what it says here in verse 12. Not only is he perfect in everything he does, but in perfecting us to be what he wants us to be, he knows what he has to do. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, he makes it clear here who it is that's doing the work, who it is that has to do the perfecting. In verses 8 through 10, it's clear it's not the preacher, it's not the evangelist, it's not the teachers, and it's not the pastors, but it's Jesus Christ himself. He came down from glory. He left everything that glory had to offer to come down into this world, that he might fulfill God's plan and fulfill God's purpose, and he might restore unto us the joy of salvation. He might restore unto us that perfect unity, that perfect place, that perfect restoration that we were lacking and that we desired. Our flaws and those things in our lives that were ugly could only be ministered to, could only be made right by the hand of one who was perfect. And the only perfect one that ever walked this world was Jesus. Look at what he's done here. He's given the tools that are needed. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But he works through them. God has a way to work that which has been broken into the image that he originally created in his own likeness. A perfect God created a perfect man. And the only way a man could be perfect was without sin. Amen. So he begins to working in us that will bring us unto perfection. Through the word, by his spirit, according to the purpose for his glory. He does all these things. In Isaiah 64 and 8, the prophet Isaiah says, we're the clay and you're the potter. When we yield ourselves to the master's hands, we allow him to begin perfecting in us the work that he wants to do. Some of us need a little more work than others. Some of us need different work than others. Amen. He doesn't have to work in everybody's life the same way. There's things to me that would be sin because they would hinder me and keep me from serving the Lord and keep my eyes off of Jesus that maybe to you wouldn't bother you whatsoever. It wouldn't hinder you at all. So God has to work in my life the things that he knows I need of. When the potter works the clay, he knows and can feel, and he's familiar with his medium. He's familiar with what he's working in, and he knows what's wrong, and he knows when he feels something that's not right. He knows what has to be removed. He knows how to form it and how to shape it and how to make it exactly what he wants to do. That's what the preaching, that's what the evangelizing, that's what the teaching, and that's what the pastoring does in our lives. That's why it's important to be in the house of God. That's why it's important to get into His Word. That's why it's important to seek the things above and set your affections on things above and let God minister to your heart. Now, I know there's some folks that can get so heavenly minded to no earthly good at all. And that's not what the Lord's talking about. He says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Our desire needs to be to Him, to live for Him. We can't be perfected and we can't allow Him to do His work of perfecting unless we're willing to submit ourselves and surrender ourselves unto Him. Hey, He won't force Himself on us, but He'll mold us into the image that we will allow and yield ourselves in allowing Him to do. In 1 John chapter 3, we was talking about this morning in Sunday school. It's one of my favorite verses, and I like to use it in different ways and in different things when I'm talking to people. And it speaks volumes. It speaks great and has great power. But in 1 John chapter 3, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not." Amen. You know what? He's perfecting. Amen. He's perfecting. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That's when we get perfected. Amen. But look at the process of getting there. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Amen. It's important that we yield ourselves unto Him, yield ourselves unto His will, yield ourselves unto His touch, yield ourselves unto everything that He gives us and everything that He brings our way for the perfecting of the saint, for the perfecting of the individual, that we might be used to the edifying of Christ. Nobody wants to pick up some old piece of junk and use it for a good purpose. People set a fine, ladies, go set a fine dining table, and they want it to be fancy. They're serving a fancy meal. They don't go drag out the everyday stuff. They go drag out the best stuff they have. And if they got something that has a chip in it, they try to hide it. They try not to let it be seen. Guys, take a car. I know people that, man, they polish cars up. They clean the wheel. I don't know what the purpose of cleaning the wheels up. They're running in the dirt. But some people do. Amen. They want everybody to see their car and think that it's just perfect. We will perfect things, and we want everything to be perfect in what we're trying to do. But then when it comes to the things of the Lord, we seem to be lacking. We seem to be slacking. Amen. Are we edifying Christ by allowing Him to perfect us and bring us to the right place? Bring us into the right frame of mind. Bring us to a place where we're yielded in His hand and we're desiring to keep ourselves pure because He's pure. Where we're desiring to be like Him. We know that we're not there yet. We know that He's still working on perfecting us. But praise God, we know that when He doth appear, we shall be like Him. We'll be perfected. Amen. And before we get there, and until we get there, and until that time that He takes us out of this world and brings us into His presence and brings us into His glory and brings us into all the majesty that heaven has to offer us. We're in that state of perfecting, and it behooves us, and it's a required of us, according to His Word, to keep ourselves pure. Am I making y'all mad this morning or something? I don't know. I don't know about you, but God's still working on me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm still just an old lump of coal. But I'm going to be a diamond someday. Amen. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I know me. And I know what it is that I have to do to allow Him to do what He wants to do. And I realize that He's only doing what He wants to do because He wants to have a relationship with me that's unified through the Son, unified through His blood, unified because of His perfect plan to bring to perfection that which He has created and that which was marred, that which He's working on. And praise God, sometimes it means being broke. Sometimes it means being yielded. Sometimes it means being surrendered. But praise God, whatever it is, and however it is, and however He wants to do it, I want Him to do it in my life. Amen. Because I want to bear His image of the whole world around. I want to let everybody know that I belong to Him, and He belongs to me. I want everybody to know that I'm in Him. I rejoice in Him. I glory in Him. I live in Him. My strength's in Him. My hope's in Him. Everything I have is in Him. And praise God, it's all in Him because He's in me. Amen. And I want the world to see that and to want that and to know that. Amen. That ought to be our desire. To be what He wants us to be. Amen. I tell you what. We've gone on too long trying to do things our own way. But one day, it's all going to change. Look at verse 13. Verses 1 to 7, we have a perfect plan. Verses 8 to 12, we have a perfecting process. Verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. What's the apostle saying here? There's a work that's going to be working in our hearts and in our lives. There is a work that needs to be done until we come to that place. Till we become that perfect man, that perfect woman, that perfect boy, that perfect girl, that perfect individual. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise God. I want you to know something this morning. He's bringing us to the place of perfection, but it's going to take that perfecting work of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take that perfecting work of the Master hand. It's going to take that perfecting work of yielding ourselves onto His perfect will and allow Him to do what He wants to do until He brings us to the place where our desires are no more set upon the things of the world. Our desires are simply and wholly and completely upon Him. We can't do that in this world, but we ought to be working toward that goal. We ought to be working to that end. As long as we're in this world, there are going to be times when we get our eyes off of Jesus. As long as as we're in this world, there's going to be times when we take the wrong paths in life. As long as we're in this world, there are going to be roads that we should have avoided, but we go down. In this life, there are going to be storms that we're going to go through. There are going to be trials that are going to be placed upon us. There are going to be issues that we face. But the one that brings us through it all, the one that gives us the victory out of it all, is in Jesus. He said, I've told you these things, that in me you might have the peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Praise God. We don't do it on our own. We can't do it our own way. We can only do it by yielding ourselves to the Lord and letting the Lord have His way, placing ourselves in the Master's hand. We can do all the bodybuilding. We can eat all the healthy food. We can go to all the doctors and follow all the plans and do everything. And you know what? You're still going to die. If the Lord tarries His coming, the only thing that matters when you leave this world is if you've yielded yourself unto the Master. If you've allowed Him to do His perfecting work in your heart and in your life, so that when you stand before Him, you don't have to be ashamed. So that when you stand before Him, you'll receive crowns to cast at His feet. So when you stand before Him, your works won't be burned up as those works of wood, hay and stubble, but your works will stand like gold. Your works will stand the purifying fire. Job, he said, when He tries me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep myself in the fire. I'm going to keep myself in the Master's hand. I'm going to keep myself in His place where He wants me. Let Him mold me and make me. Let Him place me in the fire, that He might create in me the image that He wants. And I know somewhere along the line, there's still going to be things that will mar it, but I'm glad He don't throw the clay away. Amen. He just keeps working on it. He'll make it until it comes out a vessel worthy, a vessel meet for the Master's use, a vessel that's a vessel of honor instead of a vessel of dishonor. Oh, praise God. This morning, I want you to know something. The Lord has a perfect plan of salvation, and I'm thankful for the plan of salvation, but I'm thankful that He has a perfect plan of restoration. When we sin and when we fail Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we will yield ourselves unto Him, when we will acknowledge who we are, that this is why I'm so struggling with the message this morning. The message tonight is dealing with the struggle of life. Amen. The struggle that we have. The struggle is real.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, we sing that song, "The Old Man's Dead." We still sing it every now and then, but we don't sing it like we used to. I don't sing it with the same feeling. Heard a young preacher, we was down in Virginia, heard a young preacher say, "Man, they say the old man's dead. I don't know about you, but he's alive in me." He said, "I battle that rascal every morning." Yeah. Amen. I got thinking about that. I said, "Man, that's the truth. Yeah. My life is nothing but a zombie apocalypse every day." Amen. Because the old man still tries to rear his head. The old man still tries to come back. The old man still trying to do what the old man wants to do. Oh, but praise God, if we'll just yield ourselves and place ourselves in the Master's hand.
Yeah.
And allow Him to do that work that only He can do. That perfect work through His perfect plan to bring us unto the perfect man. What a joy we'd have in our lives. We would enjoy coming to church. We'd enjoy reading our Bible. We'd enjoy listening to gospel music. We'd enjoy being around God's people. We'd enjoy it all so much more. Because God's perfect way is the only way to true joy, true peace, and true contentment. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song. Get a song of invitation.